Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Happy Wednesday to everybody. Yes, hump day, November 30th. Turning the page to December. Soon, Santa John will be coming. Christmas time all around. You can hear the music everywhere. It's that holiday time of year. And it comes at a time, John, where USA is advancing to the knockout round. Congratulations to the United States men's national team. Gets that 1-0 victory. The 2-4 able to do their part. Hold it down, that 1-0 lead over Iran. Advance, one of 16 teams in the world to advance in the World Cup. They'll play in the knockout round against the Netherlands on Saturday. We'll talk a little bit of soccer. This has become soccer headquarters around here, it feels like. Yeah, I don't know if we can do the whole thing, Brad. I don't know if we can do the whole thing.
I appreciate the effort.
Although it literally led us to victory yesterday, so I think that was the right play to let Whitney belt it out the whole thing yesterday. Grizz, yes, back in action tonight. You know, we love talking Grizz around here. You know that, right, John? And they're in Minnesota now, aren't they, Brad? Perfect opportunity.
We in Minnesota now.
Cat won't be there tonight to tell him that. He will be unavailable. Got a calf strain. That's a good thing for Memphis. I'll be asking John if it's a good or bad thing that Willie Fritz is staying at Tulane. Is that a good or a bad thing for Memphis and Ryan Silverfield? Oh, by the way, Tigers basketball also in action tonight. They'll be playing a Sun member, North Alabama. They are big, big favorites. So we have got a sports buffet, ladies and gentlemen, of things to get to. Very, very exciting day. Hey, congrats to Ren Baker, too, huh?
Yes, Ren Baker got the job at West Virginia.
Our friend. I mean, Ren's a friend. So you can root for Ren. That's a great deal. Congratulations to Ren. I'm happy for him.
Take me home, country roads, John Denver.
Brad. He wants
that's the West Virginia is where he's Ren Baker, okay. The former was he an associate director here at Memphis? Deputy had an opportunity to probably be hired as the AD maybe here if they would have hired him.
He would not have taken it.
He wouldn't have taken it, but they never. Yeah. I mean, he was a talent, right, and friend of the show. Now,
basically a star that you was so hot you couldn't hold on to.
Yeah,
John Denver.
Go ahead and give him the applause, Brad. Okay. He wants. I don't get the
take
reference.
Me home, country road. That is West Virginia's theme song.
Okay,
yeah,
fine. It's a.
Yeah, yeah. I'll find the song.
Did you know
here.
That off the top
yeah.
of your head, John?
Take me home, country road.
That's it.
To the place.
Oh, come on. Do we got to do that?
I belong, West Virginia.
Ladies and gentlemen,
that's where Ren's going.
Heaven,
let's go,
West Virginia.
Well, this makes it kind of sad.
It's a great song. It's a terrific song for the state of West Virginia.
Uplifting.
Now this is like a emotional song. Like when they all get together for these home football games.
Yeah.
This is fun. I mean, what we got in Memphis? Hard Hitters, 3-6 Mafia.
Yeah. A little heavier than this.
MEMPHIS.
That's right. One time.
Enjoy John Denver.
This is a step down from Whitney yesterday, I must say.
Jason, this is Pam Yates' favorite song.
Quite a step down from Whitney.
So are you going to disrespect Pam Yates' favorite song?
I'll let you finish this
Choose
out.
Carefully. Choose your words carefully. Ren Baker is off to West Virginia. He finally did. He decided which Power 5 job. He was very picky about which one he wanted to pursue.
Very smart.
And he did. He indeed took the West Virginia job. So congrats are certainly in order for him. He said, I am not going to have anything to do with that new AAC.
Bye-bye, AAC. Not going to help you.
Good.
Not going to lend you my expertise.
Don't let the...
I can't blame you.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. Ren Baker gone.
Hey, but Trent Dilfer coming in.
Trent Dilfer says
he says the new AAC looks good.
How about that?
Yeah, so it's a busy day. It is
a lot to get to.
Busy day for John Denver. Mark Janow is going to join us at 11:25. Mm-hmm. He wrote about Memphis's conundrum, their little dilemma with finances and Ryan Silverfield and all of that. So we'll talk about that, touch on that with him at 11:25. And then at 1:25, Paul Feinbaum is going to join us.
Hey.
As you guys know, he is a Memphian.
All right.
He is the host of the Paul Feinbaum Show. And the college football playoff rankings were released, the final ones.
I just saw him on Get Up this morning, John. So
yes.
Huge get by you.
Yes. He's very nice to do it. Very nice to do it. And so we'll get into all of that with him at 1:25. So that's the show today.
Beautiful.
A few things to touch on, though. Let's get to the over-under thing.
It's Jason and John's over-under. Over. Under.
Not going to lie, Jason and John, energized to be on the show here today in the studio with you after that U.S. win yesterday.
Yeah, me too.
Great
day. There's a little energy force coming from that victory.
Celebrate advancing.
And so we start out, we got a Grizzlies game tonight, which is exciting, and it's at a reasonable time in the Central Time Zone. Memphis at Minnesota, Grizzlies -2.5.
Over. Under.
John?
Fishy. I'm concerned.
Think it should be larger?
Much larger. What am I missing? No Cat?
No Bane.
No Bane, but you have John, you have Jaren, yeah. And you have everybody else.
And you've won your last two without him, but before that you were 1-5 without him.
Just fishy, man. Very fishy. That's my initial
you've
read on it.
You've smelled some stink here recently. So yeah,
he has.
This feels like it should be more like 4.5, 5, especially given the turmoil that franchise has been in. I wonder if the market is pricing in so addition by subtraction there with Cat a little bit. That's what I am concerned by.
Interesting.
I've seen some Minnesota podcasts trying to spin it that way, that this could be a good thing for them right now.
I'm going to say the Grizzlies win, you know, by more than that, but I'm prefacing it by saying that the number is weirding me out. The number is very creepy to me. Again, it feels like it's – because if this game were in Memphis – it would be 5.5, 6 more.
Right.
Right? So, okay, I'm going to give you 2, 3 for home court advantage. I guess that's how we get to 2.5. So, yeah, I go Grizzlies win here. I mean, how can you pick the Timberwolves right now? I mean, they are in total disarray.
Lost 3 in a row after for a second looking like they might be coming out of it. I didn't suspect that they were, and I told you, I just saw them firsthand against a bad Charlotte Hornets team. Didn't have LaMelo, Gordon Hayward. They took care of them. You subtract Karl Anthony Towns. I think this is built to be a Memphis win. You don't need Desmond Bane to beat this Minnesota team right now. They are reeling right now. Yeah, they're a little bit of desperation, and sometimes when you catch an animal backed into a corner, they can be a little fierce. I don't think this team knows who its leader is. Maybe Carl being out helps with that, but give me the Grizzlies all night tonight to cover.
Let's go to Jaren Jackson Jr. points. You know, he's looked pretty good.
This one's interesting.
Yeah, I'm glad you put this one in there. And Jaren's been playing well, looks good. The real number, as you said here, FanDuel, our sponsors, 19.5 points.
Over. Under.
So it is the real number. Jaren Jackson has gone for 20 or more in 4 straight games, his last 4 games. He's never done that in his career. And so to have this number sitting in 19.5 is pretty significant. Does it for a 5th time, he'll be adding to something he's never done in his career. We just mentioned it. Karl Anthony Towns is out. Not that he's some great defender. Rudy Gobert is obviously the guy, but hopefully Steven Adams can help clear that out. I see no reason why Jaren doesn't continue this tonight. Mm-hmm. He's been rolling, like we've said. He's looked to score more, and even inside the arc. We like that. Keep this thing going. I think he goes over the 19.5, especially with Karl Anthony Towns out.
Yeah, I have no reason to disagree. It's a usage issue right now. I mean, with no Desmond Bane, it's going to be guys picking up the slack.
You got it.
So I have no reason not to believe. And look, I mean, the Grizzlies can certainly win this game if Jaren has 18. It's not like, oh, you got to get to 20 or the Grizzlies are losing the game.
I want to keep that streak going, though.
But yeah, I mean, with no Cat and again, a Timberwolves team that is just flailing in the wind right now. I mean, they gave up 142 points to the Wizards the other night. You know, I don't really feel like they're in a position to stop much right now. So sure, yeah, I'll roll with over. But again, you know, I'm just
We might be watching him take a step offensively, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you're set up to have another good one tonight.
My only thing, though, is
just in terms of big picture view, this could be a leap for Jaren.
You know, I will say this. The sharps that I know liked it was 3.5 this morning.
Okay.
And it's now down to 2.5, right? So the sharps that I know, they like the Timberwolves. Now, that doesn't mean that they will win. Right.
Everybody's banking on Cat being gone, being a good thing.
But
I'm not.
What you do see in these situations is it's the Ciroc on ice effect.
Wow.
It's you know, the Grizzlies look at the Timberwolves, right? And they, you know, or any NBA team looks at the Timberwolves right now and they say, well, no, Cat, you guys suck. You're under 500. You know, this is, you guys, we don't even have to try against you. We're going to come in there and we're going to beat you. And then, you know, somebody steps up. I don't know who that will be.
Anthony Edwards is going to get the gut. He's going to, you know, now go ahead, take all your shots.
But yes, you know, everybody else on that roster wants to beat the Grizzlies really badly. So it's just one of those things. It's a smelly line. It's a smelly game.
Be confident. Be confident. You had them to cover, right?
Smelly.
You don't need to go back on.
I have to say,
you're reconsidering.
I believe as a flagship, I believe we do have to pick them to cover. But
that's not true.
No,
you stay with your heart.
But it's just weird to me, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out.
You're on the record for it's weird.
Okay,
I'm looking. It could be like a Grizzlies 1-point win.
They're going to handle this dysfunctional Minnesota team.
Mm-hmm. So let's go to our friends in the A-Sun, as you alluded to. The North Alabama Lions, our friends from North Alabama, coming over from Florence, Alabama. I'm assuming this is a bye game, right? We're getting paid.
Yes.
Yeah, they're getting paid to come to town.
I would assume, so why are you playing them?
I mean, this line, it could be football or basketball. North Alabama Tigers minus 26.5.
Over. Under.
It was 36.5, I think, for the football program when they played. So this is a discount you're getting.
How about that?
I don't know anything about North Alabama basketball. I don't know who the coach is. I don't know who plays for them.
Tony Pujols.
Okay.
Albert Pujols?
Don't put the S on. Just Pujols.
Pujols.
Can Memphis cover a 26.5 point number? No.
Really?
No, they
cannot. Not with the A-Sunners?
They cannot. They will not.
John just wrote that they win, that they play ugly.
Yeah, they play they play ugly.
I saw the article. Good job on that.
I will say that comes in. I mean, they'll handle them. It'll be a, you know, 18 to 25 point. But I just, you know what?
I'm going to see if I can change your mind. Go ahead.
You know what I just watched yesterday?
What'd you watch?
I just watched Bellarmine going to Kentucky, and they were tied at the half.
Bellarmine's good.
Yeah.
Well,
Bellarmine's good.
Yeah.
You saw it last year.
Well, they're worse than that. I think they're below 500 this year. Like, they're not. I hear what you're saying.
It's a good program that's now Division One.
Yeah. Are you saying that because they're 2-6?
And they're the best program in Louisville.
Well, yeah. That's true. They're 2-6
yes.
though.
Technically they are not good this season.
Yeah, but you're just,
that is a good program.
You're prejudiced because they kept your man Jordan Mincy from going to the NCAA tournament.
You're right.
So that man holding up Bellarmine like they're the Hoosiers.
How is Mincy doing this year? I need to check in on him.
I think he's doing decently well. But I haven't checked in.
Okay, well,
you know, that's
look.
Not where my college basketball view goes, right?
Mine does.
I don't think Memphis is in a place where they're covering a practically a 30 point number. I think it'll be like, you know, 78 to 59 or something.
I'm going to try to change your mind.
Oh.
KenPom's guy is 83-57.
Okay.
How many points is that? 26.
Okay.
North Alabama is 323rd in the country in defense. Yeah. Guess what everybody gets to do tonight? Mm-hmm. Eat.
Mm-hmm.
Eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to you, Elijah McCadden.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to you, Keontae Kennedy. Malcolm Dandridge. I'm talking to you as well. John, this might be where KO comes in and gets some. You think we can get KO in double digits tonight? I think North Alabama's that bad. No, I think it's possible. What I'm saying is tonight, everyone for Memphis will eat. It's going to be dang close to that 26. I think Vegas just used Ken Palm. Who's your other guy that's free? The new one?
Oh, God.
Blorvich?
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
Some Russian guy.
He's probably got it exactly the same, right around 20. Memphis going to cover tonight. Everybody going to eat. They can't stop a bread bag. They can't stop a nosebleed.
It's also a look ahead for Ole Miss.
They're 310th in offense as well. They can't score either. This is Josh just handled them, John, by 19. Josh beat them by 19.
I'll believe Memphis can beat a team by 27 when I see it.
It's North Alabama. They're 327th in the country. They don't play defense. I'm going over. They're going to cover. Okay. Memphis covers.
You got
everyone eats. Lawson's eat. McCadden's eat.
They've never played in an NBA arena, by the way. They play in a high school gym, basically, in Florence.
I believe that, for sure.
I mean, this is a little-ass school.
Memphis go cover.
I hope so. I hope
it's going to be very hard for North Alabama to score because that's a real Memphis defense, and I did.
It is a real Memphis defense. I will take the under, though.
Let's go to some hot soccer here. Soccer was the big event yesterday. You guys chronicled it on the show, and believe it or not, G and I and Jeffrey were able to hold up the lead. Can you believe it,
this
John?
This time they didn't let us down.
I cannot.
They did not let y'all down. That is good. Number of goals scored for the 9 a.m. match against the Netherlands in the knockout round Saturday, 9 a.m. on Fox. The number, a half goal, 0.5.
Over. Under.
Is that the spread?
Yeah.
That was our linesman? You came up with that one, no?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
And let me tell you this. It's the right number. I should be in Vegas.
0.5.
Yeah.
Yes. Are they going to score?
Will there be a goal or will it be nil-nil?
Two goals in group play.
Netherlands is good.
Three matches. I know.
Yeah, they could be the one scoring the goal.
So you tell me this is nine. I wake up Saturday morning. I got this right as soon as I went 9 a.m.
9 a.m. is what
I didn't know kickoff time. That's good to know.
Sure.
Pulisic is playing.
Sure. They'll score a goal.
Yeah, he's got his Nards back.
Pulisic.
I'll say they'll score a goal. Yep. I don't have high hopes for them to win the game.
Well, go ahead and give us the result then. Will they lose 3-1, 2-1?
It feels like 2-1 to me.
Okay.
Feels like 2-1.
Is that a win for the U.S. just in terms of this World Cup advancing and then losing 2-1 to the Netherlands?
It's a respectable outing.
I think
for
it probably
sure.
is.
I mean, it's an honorable outing. It's not by
any
means.
We're not going out into the streets.
Disgraceful or anything like that. It's not like Louisville basketball.
Yeah, that's become a disgrace.
That's shameful. It ain't like that. It's good. It's a good outcome. I think. I mean,
they lost to Bellarmine, who's 2-4.
2-6.
2-6.
Yeah. Oh. Don't forget the other two.
Yeah, for real, Kenny Payne might not survive.
And they lost to Appalachian State. They lost to Maryland yesterday by 50.
Oh, my God.
Who did we say his first win's going to be?
Mm.
Not till mid-December, bro. I mean, they got more pain coming before they get that.
What is the problem? I haven't watched it. Is it talent discrepancy or a strategic discrepancy, or he just can't keep this thing? I mean,
he didn't get any players in the portal.
Jeez,
and they're 245th in offense.
Yeah, they got Miami on Sunday, L. Florida State on Saturday.
We said it was a legal leave town match. Florida State's 1-7.
West Kentucky, jeez, after that, L. December 17th will be their first win against Florida A&M. And then it's conference play almost.
Louisville, bad.
Kentucky on New Year's Eve.
We were talking about would DJ Wagner go there.
Yeah, that was
cold day in hell.
Old day in hell, indeed. Yeah, no, the United States will score a goal, and I think we'll be coming in here saying great run by the Yanks.
I'm just going to stick with them and go over on this. Say they lose 2-1, 3-1, but they score over. They score a goal.
According to CBS, the player to watch out for from the Netherlands is a dude named Gakpo. He is the player they feature on the attack, so watch out for Gakpo.
Now, do they have that? Do they still have Memphis on that roster? I think they do. I think they have Memphis Depay on that roster. You remember him?
Yeah.
So, the dude named Memphis.
Yeah, so I think I believe he's on that roster. Oh. Yeah, he has been in the past.
How about that?
So
there's a dude named Memphis on the Netherlands squad?
Correct. Yep.
Interesting.
And he is on the World Cup roster, so that's interesting enough. But I'll say I think U.S. loses. It's a tough matchup. I mean, the Dutch are always really good, and we are not. So I will roll with the Dutch in this one. But we'll keep it competitive, and it'll be totally respectable.
We about to give him a Dutch oven. How about that?
Oh, wow. That's,
sorry.
That's okay. Something.
Yeah. Yourself a rim shot for that?
Yes.
No?
Okay. Very appropriate.
Thanks. It's hard to make Netherlands jokes because everybody loves the Netherlands, as we've chronicled on the show. Memphis rankings as a place to visit in the world. I heard about this on the Jeff Calkins show. We'll set the number here at 23.5 in the world to visit?
I'm defer to John here. He knows
over,
more.
Under.
Whose list?
So it's Conde Nast, who is Vogue, New Yorker, GQ, Vanity Fair, Wired.
Oh, this is a good list.
That's incredible.
You know, all these different publications. But yes, Memphis made the list of their 23 best places to go in 2023, which I find absurd. Mm. I find that and I live here. I think that is patently absurd. There is no way in hell that Memphis should be on anybody's top 23 places on the planet. I'm sorry.
It must be the price of things.
I mean,
that must be what the
like. Have you been here?
Memphis
is amazing. Like, I've chosen to live here. Mm-hmm. But it would not be in my top 23. It would not be in my top 23. I gotta tell you.
I read the write-up on this from Conte Nast or whatever. They wrote about Memphis being one of the top destinations.
Did they say why they picked us?
It said we've spent billions on recreating our downtown area. I don't know if we've spent billions as a city or a community to redo downtown. Have we? Have we spent billions?
I think we've discussed spending billions.
I don't think we've spent billions, though, currently, like as have done. They said billions spent, and they took pictures of some of the new boutique hotels we have. I think the Memphian was featured in there. Some of those over by the railroad station, the train station, there's some new boutique stuff. They took some pictures of that, too, and they kind of put that in there.
This is in the world, not the
this
country.
Is in the world.
Well, it's U.S.
Okay, U.S.
Oh, okay. In the U.S.
No, there were world locations on there, though, weren't there?
I think there was, yeah.
I was reading from the Conta Nest one. There was some...
Sea and Travelers got them. It's in the U.S.
Okay.
Not in the world, but maybe there was a world list, too. But yeah, it's like...
A couple of these lists came out today.
Nashville claims a lot of national buzz.
This
the
is
city
one.
Of Memphis has been quietly reshaping itself to be the hottest destination in Tennessee. Over the past decade, its downtown has invested billions in revitalization projects.
Have we?
And now visitors can begin reaping the benefits. An upgraded Tom Lee Park will open downtown in 2023 and in time for Memphis in May, a month-long festival celebrating the city's culture with Beale Street Music Fest, barbecue cooking contest, all of those things. Memphis is also experiencing a hotel boom with 8 new properties in 2022 and more on the way. There you go, Jason. How about that?
You got Penny's new restaurant down there, too.
Well, that is cool.
In the Westin.
Yeah.
It's just not very compelling. It's not a very compelling. We have hotels. Woo. That's great.
I mean, but new hotels.
I understand, bro. I don't want to visit a city for their hotels. That's not what I...
Are you hating on your own city?
I'm being real about the city, bro. It's not in the top 23. It might be in the top 25 and one, but it ain't in the top 23. If we're being honest, would you tell somebody you got to get to Memphis? You got to check it out. It's like it's a must stop.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know, man.
I have friends that come here from St. Louis to see the NBA. I have friends here.
If you're an NBA fan,
yeah, come on, see John Morant.
You can't do that in Nashville.
I kind of look at that.
True.
If you're a sports fan, I think it's a different conversation. You know, I think if you have
outdoor friends that come here too for Bass Pro, for Arkansas, Horseshoe Lake, area attractions. You know,
I don't know. Maybe I'm being hard on Memphis, but it's just not a place I would say, man, you got to get here and you got to get here fast because it's
when we were discussing world didn't make any sense.
Right.
You want to say USA. You know what?
Whatever.
We need to balance this out. John's a Memphis hater.
You got
We're
engaged.
In the right place.
You got engaged in Shelby Farms on that cow
yes.
thing.
And, haven't you told people to go there and do the zip line and how much fun that was for
I
you?
I mean, is Memphis the only place that you can do a zip line?
No,
like,
but
that's
we're getting a Top Golf soon, too, right? We're going to have it all.
You know, when you're telling people to visit a place, there has to be something that's, you know, unique about the place. Like, you can find lakes and you can find zip lines and you can find, you know, what really is unique about Memphis. It's like, to me, it's the vibe. You know, it's like just like when you get step into the city, it's like, and that's not necessarily a thing that you can quantify, but it is the sports. It is the passion about the sports, which like unless you're a sports fan, you are not going to care about, you know. So you got to be interested to me in one of those two things before I recommend coming in. If you're just like an average person that doesn't care about sports, you're probably not going to enjoy
Memphis. But if you are a person who just wants to hear good music, live music.
Yeah.
Right. And getting downtown and getting on Beale and sort of feeling.
Yeah.
Back to your point about vibe.
Yeah. No,
you can get down there and have a darn. You can have a hell of a time.
For sure. No,
you know what I'm saying? The one thing about it is that we're so used to it now.
Yeah.
Right. We take it for granted probably.
Maybe
a little
bit. Maybe so.
But I do. I've got family members that said, man, I had a hell of a time down there on Beale, man. We went down to BB's,
yes.
listened to live music all night long. And there's something to be said for that. You can't get that.
I just feel like you can't
get that everywhere in this country.
You can't go to St. Louis on a Thursday and do that.
No, no doubt. I just feel like. In terms of the committee, you know, we have some questions. Like, was there some pandering going on here? Was somebody paid off?
Let me ask you this way. You'd rather send them to Nashville? Soulless city like Nashville?
I think the average person would have a better time there. I mean, if I'm just being honest, they would have a better time. I think you would come away
You're
saying.
You're going to have your Opryland time.
You're going to say, like, where would the average American have more fun? Memphis or Nashville? Honest question. The average. I'm not talking about, you know, unique. The average.
What you talking about? Shopping?
Anything. Like the whole thing.
It ain't going to a Titans game.
Well, yeah,
listen,
it might
3-6, you know who they come from? Memphis.
It might. I mean, you have the NFL there. You might be an NFL fan, but listen, I'm saying.
What, you go to the mall, go to Opryland,
man,
hotel.
You got all that stuff, man.
Nashville, that's what Shores. It's all soulless.
We were talking to a client.
They're good country music.
We were talking to a client, no need to say any names, who told us this week they don't even shop in Memphis.
Well,
bro.
I will say our shopping, right?
Yeah, that's a part of it.
It could use some leveling up.
Yeah, like we have, you know. We're running
compared
out
to Nashville, yeah, I guess it's not
and,
same.
And you know, when you're out of town, a lot of times, like especially
I'm not
the
gonna
women,
let you sit up here and hate on your city. You once defended us against Paul Gaharski. You remember that, John?
And I will again. But top 23, bro.
Who is this guy?
Top 23.
I thought I knew you, John Martin.
In the country?
Overrated, bro.
You said might be top 25 and one, but you 23, no.
Yeah.
No.
I can't give you top 23. I can't do it. I live
when
here.
When we
I
thought it was it, world, okay. Now we got a wow. John's apparently going to be moving.
No, I'm not. I'm just being honest. I'm like, it's a cool city. It's a great city. I love it.
Have you stayed at that new Southland hotel they just built?
But see, Southland's in West Memphis.
No, but it's part of the market.
I hear you can get a lot of bang for your buck down in DeSoto County, John.
Yep. There's money there.
Maybe you should go look.
My man Brian, who's listening from Bahrain, he tweets and says he just left Cairo, and he can vouch that Memphis is much better than Egypt. Hey.
That is
an
accomplishment.
I think a better exercise would be to just list cities that Memphis is better than. And that, I think, we can find some real truths in, for sure. But you don't think
You've changed.
No, bro. I'm just
you have.
Like, I can't
look. You're taking your city for granted.
Like, if I tell, hey, an average New Yorker, Memphis, top 23 place to visit in 2023, they're like, get your ass out the house, man. Come on, bro. For what? For what? A blue moon?
I love my city.
You gonna get you a blue moon, man?
Hey, it's a great enough city that it landed Jeff Calkins. He decided to stay here, didn't he? Mm-hmm.
Harvard graduate.
I'm not even hating.
You know another guy out of town who I think loves it here? Our next guest, Martin Giannotto.
Top 23.
He's decided to stay.
Well, I tell you this. We'll get into that with Mark. Get his thoughts on the Memphis football situation. Memphis basketball, Grizzlies, all that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Start NFL Week 13 off right with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel. They're America's number one sportsbook, as you know. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or if you've already got an account. You're going to get free bets back if your Thursday night same-game parlay doesn't hit. Now, NFL same-game parlay is the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. You got Bills at Pats. Been pointing out Bills 0-2 in AFC East play. Last I checked, they hadn't punted the last two times they played the Patriots. So easy in terms of picking a winner here. Now, on your same game parlay, Stephon Diggs going to go over on the receiving yards. Mac Jones over or under on the passing yards. Josh Allen at any time touchdown. That's how you do it. You can build your own or choose from one of the popular SGPs that are pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. However you want to play, you can bet the NFL on Thursday night with a no-sweat same game parlay. Just sign up with the promo code JSmith if you don't already have an account. If you've got an account, you're all set. Just sign in to see what you got. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL and of 929 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. 3+ legs, minimum dollar bet required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet $5. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
I'm Michael Jenkins, helping you beat the books with BetQL. After some early season struggles, it looks like the Lakers may have started to turn things around. LA is hosting Portland tonight, and the Lakers will look to have both LeBron James and Anthony Davis in the lineup. The Lakers are 5-2 in their last seven against the spread, and Portland comes in having lost 4 or 5 games overall. The BetQL model likes the way the Lakers have played lately, so the 5-star NBA play of the day is the Lakers laying the points against the Trailblazers.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than 1 billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards?
Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Mark Giannotto, sports columnist over at Commercial Appeal, host of the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. Memphis football feels stuck. And this new reality calls for a new mission. That is what Mark wrote today over at the CA. He joins us now. What's up, man?
Not much. I wrote it because, myself included, I feel like there's been almost too much doom and gloom about, you know, what this is becoming in terms of, you know, like, I think everyone is so focused on the conference realignment aspect of this, including, frankly, like, the athletic department and, you know, it includes everyone, media, fans, athletic department. And the reality is, it's not happening, at least not anytime soon. But I think we tend to overlook, like, there are some things that are going, like, there are still things that are going to make Memphis football compelling if they can manage to put a compelling product on the field. Like, in a year or two, hopefully, if the Rose Bowl gets out of the way, Memphis is going to have a better shot at making the college football playoff. And in, you know, in a tangential way, a better chance of winning a national championship, although that's obviously still a long shot.
Yep, but can still say seat at the table.
Yes.
I agree with you completely.
And like,
that's
than ever
reason
before.
Enough.
Than ever before. And John Calipari led the basketball team to, you know, should have won a national championship from a league that was just as bad as what the new AAC is going to be. And this thought that, like, all is lost because, you know, some, you know, the momentum, especially on the football side, is completely gone, I think is, you know, I think it's just something, you know, I think people have been too quick to kind of take that sort of stance. But it's also why I think the Silverfield situation is so frustrating, because, like, ultimately, you're going to need to go, you know, if you can put an 11-1 type team out on the field, which Mike Norvell did two times in 3 years, basically, you know, the 2017 team lost. Two times in 3 years. 2017 team lost in the AAC championship game ultimately, so didn't get there to the play. To if there was a playoff, wouldn't have gotten to the playoff, but was right there on the cusp of it. And the 2019 team did. If you can put those types of teams together, like, there's joy to be found. Like, that's a very meaningful thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think what's frustrating for me is, like, I don't think the decision they're making to retain Ryan Silverfield is crazy. Like, in some ways, it's responsible. From a fiscal sense, it sounds like it's probably responsible. But does anyone believe in their heart of hearts that Ryan Silverfield is going to field an 11-1 type of football team?
Right.
I don't think so. Personally,
I think that's the heart of the problem.
You know, and, like, what do you do next year
when he has a 7-5 record, or 8-4?
When he's 8-4 and he's got 2 years left on his deal.
Yep.
You know, like, I think one of the things that people haven't talked enough about, and we talked about it on our podcast over at the Commercial Appeal that's out today, is next year kind of becomes a, either you fire him or you kind of, like, if you truly actually want to support him, you know, you can't have a coach. It's really hard to recruit. You're kind of cutting the program off at the knees if a coach goes into a, you know, goes in with 2 years left on his deal. Like, in the world of college athletics, it's really hard to recruit in that environment. So you're almost faced with a situation where you might have to extend him next year, potentially, if you want to keep him, if you really want to keep him and you're actually trying to keep him in a meaningful way, like, if you actually believe in him. And the problem is, my gut tells me it's going to be just like this year. It's not going to be cut and dry. It's not going to be they went 5-7 and didn't make a bowl and it's okay, no brainer, you fire him. Or even he goes, he's gonna go, he's gonna, they're gonna get a little bit better because it's a, you know, it's a weaker schedule. And what do you do then? Like, what are you gonna do this time next year when they're 8-4? Are you really gonna fire an 8-4 coach? Well, if you're not gonna fire him, now he's got 2 years left. And so, like, that's the part that is frustrating for me. But I think in general, the athletic department needs to be selling that vision more to the fan base. Like, stop. I think the time to talk about conference realignment is over. I think to me, I would be emphasizing, hey, if we do what we did 2 times in 3 years moving forward, like, we're going to be in the college football playoff potentially. I know the, you know, the dynamics are going to be a little different because the AAC is getting worse, and it'll be, you know, I don't know if the Sun Belt and Mountain West are getting better as much as, like, the AAC is going to come back down to them, but I don't think they're going to be necessarily better than the AAC. It'll just be more even. But I still think if you're 11-1 or 12-0 in this new league, you're going to have a really good chance of being in the playoff. And I just think people need to think about that more rather than dwelling on we got left behind again. Because what's the good in that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and ultimately, it sounds like part of the reason why they can't get the money together to do what they want to do is because so many of these boosters are thinking in terms of the conference realignment perspective. And that's, you know, that's what Memphis has done for the last 10 years. Like, that's how they've kind of pushed the program forward, is with the thought of we're going to a better conference. Well, that's not going to happen anytime soon. And that was the point of the column, is like, you need to come up with a new vision, a new mission for this athletic department. And with that, you need to come up with some new blood. I mean, like, it feels to me like the prominent boosters at Memphis, by and large, even the young ones are, like, in their 50s. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you need to galvanize a new generation of support for this athletic department. And too often, it has felt like in recent years, they haven't done a poor job. It's just been, like, kind of by the book. Like, everything's kind of been by the book. And, like, Memphis has never been a by-the-book type of situation, type of school. Like, usually it doesn't necessarily work that well when you just try to do it at Memphis like people do it everywhere else. You got to do it differently at Memphis to succeed. The greatest moments in the university's history have felt like when it's differentiated itself, because it is a unique type of university in terms of its makeup, in terms of the location, in terms of the student body, all that stuff. And so I just wrote the column because I, myself included, I was like focused so much on the doom, like this kind of, even, you know, I point out in the column, even the NIL thing that Laird Veach did a couple weeks ago, like the message was just very doom and gloom. It was like, if we don't give this money, we're going to lose players. And like, my suggestion was, like, what about if we don't give this money? Like, think about all the players we could get with this money. And I know that's walking a tightrope because it's not supposed to be an inducement, but, like,
Mark says, still hope.
What? Yeah.
Well, like, no, I mean, I do. I think, you know, even if you yourself don't believe it, right, your job is to sort of portray this, you know, this aura of, hey, look how much better we could be.
Just doesn't feel like there's a lot of outside-the-box thinking going on over there right now. It's all, yeah. It's been a lot, you know. And
how much of that is because you got an athletic director who's maybe not necessarily looking long-term?
There's no question
about
it. Tom
Bowles here to fix football.
No doubt
this
about
one
it.
Might be looking to get, you know.
I do think that is a problem.
First trip out of here rather than, here's a big picture.
And every
where we
AD
need to go.
Has that, right, from at this level. But it's just so, it's been so public with Laird that, like, he's, like, tried every job.
Well, I'll say this, like, Tom Bowen was going after every job under the sun, too, like when I got here in 2017.
Yeah,
like,
but he came on a mission, right? Which
yeah,
was to
no,
fix
that's
football.
Fair. No, I mean, Tom Bowen did, I mean, in retrospect, did a fantastic job with football.
Right. Laird hasn't really accomplished anything.
Like you said, it's been more by the book.
It's just been by the book.
I like that phrase.
He operates like a Power 5 athletic director, and this is not a Power 5 situation.
It's not. It's a... it's a very much it's a situation where and I don't look I don't think Tom Bowen was great at this, but he at least did address football. Like, you really got to come here, you got to roll your sleeves up, you got to pick up the shovel
and have a vision.
And, hell, and yeah, and
Ren,
like
Ren even had that.
I mean,
the deputy
look, you,
spot.
I, some people don't like to do this, right? So I get it, but you really do. You have to pander, right, to the people with money. You have to really make sure that they feel like they're. R.C. Johnson got a lot of flack, and a lot of it was deserved. But the one thing that he was amazing at was he knew how to extract the dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knew how to extract the dollars from the important
people.
Because
that's what's striking to me is that literally we're talking about $3.5 million is too much for this athletic department to foot right now. And, like, I believe them when they say they can't afford it. But, like, put the mirror up to yourself.
Right.
Like the fact that you can't afford it says a lot about you as a department right now, not anything else. And, you know, like, I talked to some of these prominent boosters. Like, I can tell you, like, you know, I don't think anyone dislikes Laird, but I don't get the sense like they're in love with what's gone on. You know, like, I don't think it's very, again, it's like kind of just in the middle by the book, you know, and you need dynamic leadership, and they don't have it right now. And I'm not saying, like, I like Laird Veach. Like, I think he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And I hope he uses this opportunity here to, you know, maybe he changes his approach. But that's kind of what I was thinking when I wrote the column, is there needs to be a change in approach to how, I guess, you are galvanizing support for these programs.
Well, I texted a booster who was giving money to the University of Memphis for, you know, 20 years, going back to the days of Cal. And I said, what did you think about the video? What did you think about the, you know, the approach there? And he said, I spoke to four other prominent boosters today, and we are all laughing. Mm-hmm. That laughing does not mean giving money, right?
Yeah.
That is the opposite of that. Now, look, you know, boosters are egotistical people too. You know, they want to feel like they have, you know, this, that, the other, and maybe they're not getting that. So there could be a lot of agendas there too. But, yeah, like I just – I don't feel like there is this, you know, and I've said it before, but I do think you do. You have to have this suspension of disbelief. We know all the things that are working against Memphis, but you sort of have to just ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to just pretend.
Well, and I would just say to the fan base, like, I just think there, like, this thought that it's not going to be fun to be a Memphis fan next year, you know, in this new AAC. Like, I think, yeah, it's not going to be fun if you're 6-6 again. Sure. Like, yep. You know, it's not going to be fun if, you know, if for some reason the men's basketball team falls off a little bit. But, like, if Penny has a team that's the best team in this new-look, worse AAC, and Memphis is competing for an AAC championship like it should in football, like, that's going to be fun still. It's just, you know, like, because there are things you are, there is access, even though it's not as much access as you want, to kind of those end goals. You know, like, I think the football team, again, maybe not next year, but in a couple years, is going to have an opportunity where if you go 11-1, you can reasonably talk about, hey, maybe we can be the 12 seed in the playoff, you know? And, you know, like, this year that would mean playing, you know, you play Ohio State in Columbus. Wouldn't be, you know, probably be a heavy underdog, but, like, you know,
absolutely,
that'd be a hell of an experience. You know, the Cotton Bowl in 2019 was a hell of an experience, that run. And so I just think they need to take probably a new approach over there. And I think this whole football situation should be hopefully the, you know, look in the mirror moment for them in terms of, man, we're like stuck right now. Like, I don't get the sense that Laird Veach and whoever, you know, the decision makers over there are going, we're retaining Ryan Silverfield because we believe in him. We know next year he's going to get this right. Like, they're hoping that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, I think they're going, we're retaining Ryan Silverfield because we don't really have any other choice right now as an athletic department. And that's no way to conduct business. It just isn't.
Oh, you're doing your part. I see this
column was published at 9:01 p.m. That's the sort of outside-the-box thinking that Laird needs over there. You know, that sort of galvanizing thinking right there, that 9:01.
You should, it was supposed to publish at 9, to be honest. It was embargoed for you. That's the...
No, it was perfect. This is, it was destiny. It came out at 9:01. NIL is applied to December. Do you think we will see an exodus of folks? Football players.
I think you'll see some guys leave, yeah. It seems like...
Seems like Seth staying.
Yeah, I mean, I would if Seth Hennigan is leaving, like, you know, like I would hope Ryan Silverfield, you know, like that was part of the thinking in terms of bringing him back, was that Seth, that you're going to keep Seth Hennigan, because I think the whole point of keeping Ryan Silverfield is that, okay, we're going to be better next year. We're going to be a 9-3, 10-2 type of a team challenging to win the conference next year.
Better get some transfers, not, though, right? To do that.
Yes. I mean.
So that's what I'm talking about. What happens with the portal?
Yeah, because what's interesting, I mean, because even if you look at this year's team, I mean, defensively, you know, they had some pretty impact guys at linebacker who were brought in via the portal. Sincere Evans, Tyler Murray, Jeffrey Canton-Arku were all portal guys. You know, it'll be interesting because they do return a decent amount on offense, but like, you know, that wasn't a great offense. You know, like you return most of your O-line, like that wasn't a great O-line. You return a lot of your weapons, but, you know, I wasn't overwhelmed with, you know, with the weapons they had. I think they need to go get some talent in the portal, especially to help Seth Hennigan. I think they need to get some guys in the secondary. But will they, you know, like, I think my gut tells me, based on what we heard a couple weeks ago from Laird Veach, is, you know, I'm guessing a good chunk of that NIL money they have access to is being spent on Seth Hennigan and Caden Priestcorn. And, right, you know, like, I think a guy to watch is Cameron Jackson, that big defensive lineman, 340-pound defensive lineman. Like, he's got power five size, and he was pretty good this year. You saw what happened last year. It was last year, 2 years ago, when they lost Morris Joseph, you know, kind of late. Because basically Auburn came in, you know, it wasn't just Auburn. It was like Auburn and NIL money. And so they got to be careful about things like that. But, yeah, no, it's – I mean, they got to hit the ground running next year. There's no – you know, like you can't be – you know, like there's – I would hope if this thing isn't drastically better that we're going to move in a different direction next year. So it'll be interesting over the next 3-4 weeks – how they do in the portal, in terms of who they keep, who they get, because like Seth Hennigan, you know, it's interesting. Darren Heitner put out a tweet today, quoting a like someone from a collective, like basically right now, if you want like a top quarterback recruit in the country, like the conversation starts at 7 figures, and. Like, I'm not saying Seth Hennigan is a 7-figure quarterback, but, you know, I think he's like a 6-figure quarterback potentially. For sure. You know, a power five school would maybe want to come in. You know, like, I didn't think Seth had a great year this year. Like, he was 8th in the conference in passer efficiency rating. Mm-hmm. He had a very just, it was like kind of basically the same as last year type of year. Now, some of that I think is on him, some of it is on. On offensive line, he was running for his life in half these games. And then some of it is on, like, his receiving core was not good. But I still think, you know, as Jeffrey put it to me on our show, like I watched Iowa play this year. Like, if Iowa had Seth Hennigan at quarterback, they'd be a better team. You know, like, their quarterback stunk. You know, Nebraska, seems like that. You know, like, I'm not saying he's going to go to, you know, like, he's going to be attractive to a top 25 type team. But, like, some of those mid to bottom tier Power 5 teams, mm-hmm. like he could play quarterback for those teams. And so he has apparently said he's coming back, and I'll take him at his word. I think he's being real when he says that he is loyal, and I think it stems to his dad being a high school football coach. Like, I believe him when he says that. At the same time, I think we would be naive to think someone's not going to approach him in these next couple weeks and offer him something.
Well, yeah, that's why it must be, you know, something different.
because there is going to be.
So my guess is Ryan assured him there's going to be some sort of NIL package that he's going to get. That's very attractive, I would hope.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, but you got to believe though. I mean, any SEC team that needs a quarterback, any Big 12 team that needs a quarterback is going to be able to beat that. You know, so to me, it's almost got to be something else. That is part of it.
Now, but, from what I'm told, he may have a girlfriend on campus.
Yeah, there we go. Bing.
Yeah,
bing,
like
bing,
a, I
bing.
Believe a Memphis cheerleader is his girlfriend.
Ding, 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 ding. Now we're getting to the nitty gritty of it.
Yeah.
Right. So it is NIL, of course. That's going to cement it. But anybody can come up with an NIL package that would beat Memphis's. I mean, that's kind of what we're hearing, right? They're like, we're going to lose players if we don't. You know, if we, and that's not going to just be a this year thing. That's going to be an every year thing.
Now at the same time, I still think part of this is, you know, evaluation in the sense that, like, you're at Memphis, you're never going to be able to outbid a lot of teams with NIL, I don't think. I don't think at any point, even if your NIL contributions get better. I think it's got to be strategic. You know, like,
you'll just take from the lower schools, like like the Power Five's take it from you.
Yeah.
That's just what you'll do.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll have to outbid South Florida. You know, you'll have to outbid UAB with Trent Dilfer. I mean, that's what it's going to be.
That was an interesting hire. I think he's going to be good there. I think that was a.
You think Trent's going to be good?
Oh, yeah. Dude, have you looked at his team that he brought? He, like, basically just brought dudes from all over the country to Lipscomb Academy. Like, he's going to do. If he gets NIL, like that's the type of outside the box type stuff I think I would be trying at schools like UAB in the NIL era, because Trent Dilfer is a compelling personality. He's a name. Like, that's the type of guy. Like, you also, like, one of the jobs of a coach now, honestly, one of the biggest parts of the job is it's not supposed to be this way, but, like, you're supposed to go get NIL support. Penny does it, seems to do it pretty well. Ryan, when he was talking about the other week, seems very, like, hesitant to get in, like, doesn't want, you know, wants to do it by the book. And, like, I'm just telling you, by the book ain't going to cut it. It's just not. You got to push the boundaries. I'm not saying break the rules. I'm saying push the boundaries. That's where, that places like Memphis, that's how they're successful. You know, you take some risks. You know, like, Mike Norvell did it all the time. Got kids who got, you know, didn't have the grades, didn't have, you know, it was a different era, if you will, because NIL wasn't around, but, like, you know, didn't make the grades, had some sort of something in their background, and he took a chance on them. That's how you succeed at Memphis football. Like, that's how it worked 3-4 years ago. And, like, I think Dilfer, that's an interesting hire to me. At UAB, like, I'm very intrigued by it. You know, I don't know if he's going to be a great college X's and O's coach. I just know this: he got players at Lipscomb Academy, and not like from Nashville. Like, they were coming from all over.
Well, it was kind of like having Mike Miller at Houston or having Penny at East.
Yes,
you know, a Super Bowl winning coach.
But I'll say this: Mike Miller and Penny both got players at the college level too. They got players at the high school level, and then they went to the college level, and they went and got players.
But he's got all the sport he could ask for at Lipscomb. UAB.
No,
like,
it'll be
said.
A little different. Yeah. It'll be a little different, you know. But at the same time, that's the type of personality.
You're selling.
A city like Birmingham. Maybe you can get some of those business people in Birmingham to back you because you're Trent Dilfer, and you know that takes you to a different level potentially. So I thought it was an intriguing hire. I don't know if it'll work or not, but that's the type of hire I would be making right now if I was a school like UAB. Not necessarily Trent Dilfer, but like an outside-the-box type of hire. It's why Deion's so compelling.
Yeah.
It's the same reason.
It is. He is Mark Giannotto. Catch him from 2 to 4. Read him at commercialappeal.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.